Ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard. This is a very live, just barely, Michael Collins Piper coming to you from right here in Washington, D.C.'s Capitol Hill headquarters of American Free Press Newspaper. If I sound a little rusty tonight, ladies and gentlemen, it's because I got caught in the rain here today. And like I always say, when it rains up here in Capitol Hill, I just wish it would wash all these criminals out of Congress and down into the Potomac River and into the Chesapeake Bay and into the ocean. You know, they sink old New York City subway cars into the ocean to provide shelter for fish and other things. You know, when those old subway cars don't work, I wish they would put some of our public officials in the ocean to provide food for the fish, because most of these public officials, as we well know, really don't have the public's interests at heart. And that brings up a point, a subject area that I want to discuss here this evening. It's going to be very controversial, but I want the listeners to call in here tonight and throw in their two cents on the subject, because we are talking about the public interest here. And what I want to do tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is talk about this phenomenon of the patriotic movement being infiltrated. I want to talk about the corruption of very serious, honest groups and organizations by the enemy within, by Judas goats who are trying to mislead good patriots and prevent us from seeking the truth, whether it's on issues such as 9/11 or the truth about what's really happening with the problem of immigration. I mean, the list goes on and on, ladies and gentlemen. We could talk about this. This is something that I've been concerned about with since I first got actively involved, literally on the payroll, working as a paid employee of Liberty Lobby, the populist institution here on Capitol Hill in Washington, which was run out of business by a corrupt federal judge back in 2001. That's a story in and of itself, which I'm going to talk about here sometime on the program in very excruciating, no-holds-barred detail. But that's not the subject tonight. I want to reflect upon my own observations over the years, and I want people to call in with their own stories about infiltrators and corruptors who they've witnessed in action all around the country. And believe me, folks, there's no question about it. We've all heard the stories of COINTELPRO, the old FBI operation where they infiltrated groups, not only the Ku Klux Klan, but also black civil rights organizations and black nationalist organizations, left-wing groups, white right-wing groups, you name it. They infiltrated and destroyed them from within. Whether you like the groups or not, whether you like the black groups or whether you like the white nationalist groups, the fact is government agents of the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith, agents from the Southern Poverty Law Center, you name it, even the CIA, infiltrated so many organizations and pitted them against one another, pitted employees and volunteers within those organizations against one another, and generally did everything they could to disrupt political dissent in America. Anybody outside the loop, anybody outside the inner circles, anybody who would dare to take on the foreign policy establishment inside the Council on Foreign Relations or the Trilateral Commission or the Bilderberg Group, you name it. We all know who the establishment is in this country. We know who the elite are. However you want to describe them. And the fact is, they want to maintain power, and they want to maintain control. And one way they have done it is through using private and publicly funded
Arkansas Intelligence Group.
New novel by T. Edward Allen. Through corruption, greed, and incompetence, the neocons have brought the world to the brink of World War III. John Carter and his family are caught in the middle of a terrifying plunge into chaos. When the world economy collapses, America is brought down with it. The focal point is the ideological conflict between progressives and conservatives. And when civil war breaks out, Americans find that every axiom they took for granted has been overturned. Dangerously political and thought-provoking, T. Edward Allen takes readers on a wild ride and a glimpse into America's future with madmen at the helm.
Buy Axiom at www.axiom-thenovel.com. That's axiom-thenovel.com, or find it at amazon.com. Get in on the buzz. Purchase your copy. Axiom, The Second American Civil War by T. Edward Allen.
Gold, ever climbing as the dollar continues to spiral into a free fall. How long before it hits rock bottom? Between 1800 and 1913, the value of the dollar was more or less constant. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, the value of the dollar has depreciated 97%. Due to global inflationary policies and the continued erosion of the U.S. dollar, gold and silver are still in the early stages of the greatest bull market the world has ever seen. Whether you purchase precious metals to stabilize your portfolio or you're looking for strong growth, gold and silver will provide you with both. Don't you owe it to yourself to do business with Republic Trading Group? Call us today and become a part of the raging bull in gold and silver. 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898. Call now. 1-800-691-7898.
As a listener of this network, you know that we bring you the news and analysis that you just won't get from the corporate-dominated media outlets in this country. As an educated citizen, you also know that freedom itself is not free, but requires constant vigilance and sacrifice. A radio network such as Republic Broadcasting Network, a rare commodity indeed, also cannot survive on good intentions alone. So the next time you think about going down to the local superstore or electronics store, stop, get online first, and visit RepublicTradingPost.com. We have thousands of items at very competitive prices, and every dollar you spend with us will be invested back into RBN, so that we may continue to bring you the news and information the public so desperately needs. RepublicTradingPost.com. The store that invests its profits in your freedom.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here, coming to you just barely alive from Washington, D.C. I apologize for talking into the music, but guess what, folks? I didn't hear the music. They're taking care of that, though. Minor hitch there. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, what I was saying before I realized I was not saying it anymore, at least over the air, I was saying that there have been so many groups and so forth infiltrated over the years, and I know many, many people out there have experienced themselves. And it's not just national organizations, local organizations as well. I did want to, and as I say, I want people to call in here tonight and comment on what I have to say, and maybe relate their own experiences. Our call-in number here is 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. I have to take credit where credit is due in one instance regarding this infiltration of organizations. I was the first person to ever put in writing the flat-out accusation that one Roy Bullock of San Francisco was an undercover operative for the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith, infiltrating organizations all around the country. I had figured that out myself on my own, and then my employer, Willis Cardo, confirmed to me that he, in fact, had been pretty reliably informed that Bullock was, in fact, an ADL informant, and needless to say, when I wrote an article in the Spotlight in June of 1986 alleging precisely that, there were people all over the country who knew Roy Bullock who were, frankly, mad as hell. They were saying, oh, how dare you say that about a good patriot like Roy Bullock? He's a good man. He comes to all our meetings. He makes donations, this and that, and so on. Bullock himself called the office of the Spotlight, the newspaper I was writing for, published by Liberty Lobby, and Bullock himself said to me, he says, that's not true. I've consulted an attorney about this. He says, I swear on a stack of mine comps. That's what he said. He says, I swear that I'm not an ADL informant. Well, needless to say, it took seven, almost eight long years until Bullock's identity as an ADL informant was confirmed when not only the FBI, of all people, but also the San Francisco Police Department raided the ADL offices in Los Angeles and San Francisco and found that Bullock and one of his contacts in the San Francisco Police Department had been trading in stolen intelligence material from the FBI and the San Francisco Police Department. So like I say, I got to take credit, folks, where credit is due. I called the shot on that one. I called it right, and I was finally confirmed. And again, I want to reflect on my own personal experience in this. I worked with Liberty Lobby full-time and part-time from 1980, roughly, I guess, 1980 through the destruction of Liberty Lobby in 2001 by a corrupt federal judge who was basically affirming a lawsuit against Liberty Lobby by some people who I insist to this day, and pretty good evidence to prove it, they had CIA and Mossad connections behind them. But again, that's another story for another time. But needless to say, it's kind of interesting, folks. Over the years, there were many people who said that Liberty Lobby was part of controlled opposition, that Liberty Lobby was really... there was all sorts of stories, that it was... one of the stories told by some of these Republican conservative types was that really Liberty Lobby was funded. This was the story, folks. This is what they told. I heard this story told even years before I worked for Liberty Lobby. I heard them tell the story that Liberty Lobby was really funded by liberal Jewish organizations who didn't like conservative ideas. And so therefore they put up the money for Liberty Lobby so that Liberty Lobby could be used to smear the entire conservative movement. Now, very creative story. There were also stories that Liberty Lobby, again, was secretly funded by the Zionists for that same reason. But that was said by other people who actually were anti-Zionist. But I'm going to tell you my own personal experience working for Liberty Lobby. Now, the head of Liberty Lobby, the founder of Liberty Lobby, was Willis Cardo. Now, Willis and I always worked reasonably well together. On the other hand, I often had differences of opinion with him about approaches in taking on fundraising issues, public relations issues. We frequently came to very, very difficult blows. Willis can be very insistent, and so can I. But I can tell you this much, that during those years working with Willis, he was always very, very open to input and opinions from the staff. He did not run the place, as many people thought, with an iron fist. He may have wanted to do that, but when you have an organization that's so quirky in terms of being politically quirky, being very independent-minded as Liberty Lobby, you get a lot of differing ideas and opinions inside such an organization. And we always kept moving forward, even though we would have our internal differences. But I can say without hesitation that over the years I never saw anything to give me question, to give any rise to any doubts in my mind that Willis Cardo, the founder of Liberty Lobby, the man in charge, had any other agenda other than getting the word out, getting the truth out there. I never saw any evidence of any outside organizations coming in, like, say, any outside influences trying to running the organization from behind the scenes with Willis as a front man. Over the years, I wrote thousands of articles for the Spotlight, and although they would be edited, just like every article is edited by any responsible newspaper, There was never any time when anything of serious substance was edited out of my articles. Occasionally I would have a disagreement with Willis or one of the other editors about the way something was edited, but that's the way writers and editors are. They argue about these things, ladies and gentlemen. So now I can say this much also, and this is very important. Over the years with the Spotlight, I saw outside people coming in with stories that we published. Later, those stories, when we'd look back at them, we'd say, well, wait a minute, this looks like this may have been some sort of propaganda being foisted off on us. It's the kind of thing, you know, that you can never prove that the story was directly untrue, but you might smell something fishy about it and say, we shouldn't have published that. Well, needless to say, when those people came back again with other stories, we would weigh those stories very carefully. And a lot of time, bear in mind that the people who give you these stories are perfectly honest and upstanding, real patriots, people who believe they have a real story. But unfortunately, a lot of times, they have been given disinformation, deliberate disinformation, not misinformation, disinformation by other people who want to get those stories out there. And I'm sorry to say, I've seen that happening. You know, it happens all the time. And now with the Internet, there's an increase in it because I see stuff out there on the Internet that I know is just nonsense. Someone has cooked up for their own insidious purposes. Now, I personally believe, of course, that the Israelis had a hand in if they didn't orchestrate 9-1-1 all on their own. But I know the day of 9-1-1, there was a story out there that appeared to be a real news story, and it circulated all over the Internet, and I received it time again in my email for months afterward, which purported to be a very authoritative story saying that U.S. government officials believe the Israelis were involved in 9-1-1. Well, this story was a contrivance. I don't know if it was contrived by the Israelis so that it could easily be shot down. Or I don't know if some innocent person thought they were doing a good thing by getting that story out there. But needless to say, this is the kind of disinformation that we have to guard against, whether it's repeating it back here on the radio or whether it's writing about it in a newspaper or on the Internet, via email, it's this kind of thing. I tend to be very picky myself and try to weigh everything very, very carefully. It becomes difficult at times. But the thing about it is, there is absolutely no question that there are people with an agenda that is not exactly in tune with the agenda of most listeners of RBN or with the readers of American Free Press or the Idaho Observer or all these other good independent newsletters and publications that are out there. And we have to be wary of these Judas goats, the enemy within. Okay, well, that having been said, we do have one caller right now. We're going to go ahead and bring him up. That's Jeff from Chelsea, Massachusetts. Jeff, come on up.
Oh, good evening. How's it going?
How you doing, Jeff?
Oh, I'm doing just fine. Now, as far as lawsuits is concerned, it's always disheartening when you have outside organizations like the Pro Defecation League trying to put a lawsuit on freedom of speech. I mean, that's always bothered me. And what bothers me is the few times when they succeed. And I really believe that freedom of speech is really being stifled in this country.
Well, I can tell you from my experience with Liberty Lobby and the Spotlight, we had several major lawsuits against us by people such as E. Howard Hunt, the Watergate burglar. We had William F. Buckley, Jr., the Council on Foreign Relations and Bilderberg member.
And Skull and Bones, let me add.
Well, thank you for that. That's exactly right, Jeff. And, you know, the thing about it is it still amazes me to this day that there were, and I can guarantee you, having been at Liberty Lobby when we were under siege from these lawsuits, I mean, you know, those lawsuits alone could have brought down Liberty Lobby. Well, there we go for a break. The music came up for us this time, Jeff. Stay tuned. We will be back. Pursue this further. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington, D.C. I'm here on the Republic Broadcasting Network, rbnlive.com. And on shortwave, 12.180.
Get a pen and paper ready for emergency storable food information. The attention of the nation is focusing on families storing emergency food in their homes. FEMA has recently proven that their fears of being unable to care for large numbers of people are justified. Hurricane relief in the South was a disaster. The system for tracking all food is now in place. There are numbered stickers on produce, grocery store ID cards track purchases, and now veterinarians will police the permitting and tagging of all livestock food production. The need to prepare has gone from a walk to a full-blown race. Major churches are telling their members, get food now. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. For help with food supplies, call the J. Michael Stevens Group at 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Axiom, The Second American Civil War, a new novel by T. Edward Allen. Through corruption, greed, and incompetence, the neocons have brought the world to the brink of World War III. John Carter and his family are caught in the middle of a terrifying plunge into chaos. When the world economy collapses, America is brought down with it. The focal point is the ideological conflict between progressives and conservatives. And when civil war breaks out, Americans find that every axiom they took for granted has been overturned. Dangerously political and thought-provoking, T. Edward Allen takes readers on a wild ride and a glimpse into America's future with madmen at the helm.
Buy Axiom at www.axiom-thenovel.com. That's axiom-thenovel.com or find it at amazon.com. Get in on the buzz. Purchase your copy. Axiom, The Second American Civil War by T. Edward Allen.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
Gentlemen, welcome back. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington right here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Hopefully you're getting some good reception here tonight at 12.180 on shortwave, or maybe you're listening on the internet. And don't forget, you know, tell your friends if they can't tune in live, they can always check the archives here at rbnlive.com and listen to all the good programming. Not just here in this programming, but all over on this network. So, anyway, we had Jeff from Chelsea, Massachusetts aboard. We were talking about lawsuits being used, the legal system being used to destroy political organizations, and I commented that Liberty Lobby suffered several similar lawsuits. But you know, the amazing, Jeff, are you still there?
Yes, sir, I'm still here.
You know, the amazing thing, Jeff, is that although, you know, we were seriously under the gun and trying to raise money and trying to survive, and there were actually people who said those lawsuits were really phony and that they were designed to make it look like Liberty Lobby was under siege, but really we weren't. Well, you know, there is a lot of conspiracy out there, and there's a lot of paranoia that deserves to be very real, but I can tell you, those lawsuits were very real, and we all spent a lot of sleepless nights. But be that as it may, again, I'm just reflecting on my own personal experiences. So what about you, Jeff? Have you ever seen any infiltrators in any organizations?
Well, not personally, I haven't, but I will say this in general, that that I really believe in the future. If this country doesn't change, people like us will be put into re-education camps,
mm-hmm.
and be re-educated to believe that communism and socialism and those obscene values are good, and that to be a good Bolshevik, you have to do as you're told and believe what we tell you for that particular day.
Just like, well, I'll tell you what. You know, from my perspective, Jeff, I don't think they need to put a lot of people in re-education camps because they've got the media re-educating people or miseducating people every day. Yeah, that's why, you know, I say American Free Press always says the media is the enemy, and I think that's what we're up against. We're the real big enemy is the media, and that's why it's so important for independent voices like the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Oh, of course. And you know, what's so fun about shortwave is that there can be disagreements, but there are always constructive disagreements.
I would like to think, I would like to think that the same thing. You know what I mean? People will always disagree on various points, you know what I mean? But for the most part, I think for the most part, all the people that are listening to RBN are kind of on the same page, on the same wavelength, so to speak, you know. And you know, there will always be the differences, but we can iron them out in the bigger picture.
And the big picture is freedom of speech. We lose that, the next step will be the elimination of the right to bear arms, and then after that will be the real re-education camps, to where we'll be forced to be part of the communist collective, and that bothers me.
Well, you know, Jeff, it's interesting you mention this. While I was out of the country, I had to catch up on a lot of reading when I got back here, and I found out that up in Canada right now,
yes,
major move against freedom of speech on the internet, and they are starting to prosecute people under criminal sanctions for saying things on the internet that are considered hate speech. Well, you know, when you start to try to define hate speech, that gets real problematic. And, you know, we have to be wary because we think of Canada as that friendly and benevolent neighbor to the north. But, you know, Reverend Ted Pike has said time and time again, and I think he's right, that in many respects what goes on in Canada is like a test tube for what will ultimately be put down here in America.
Oh, no, that's absolutely true because if you say anything bad against homosexuals, you are screwed, and that's what's going to happen here in this country. If you say anything bad against illegal aliens in this country, that'll be considered hate speech.
Oh yeah, make a list and check it twice, because you're going to find out that they consider you naughty, not nice. You know what I mean? To get poetic here, this is what's happening. This hate speech, which is so really so ill-defined, I mean, it's getting to the point where we really have to worry about our freedom of speech here. So,
well, that's it. And you know, what's funny is it'll be whatever they define. It's just like the movie V for Vendetta. Did you ever see the movie V for Vendetta?
No, I haven't, but I've heard about it. Mm-hmm.
And that is the future where we're heading towards. And once that dangerous slippery slope comes to this country, then there'll be internal revolution stirred by the government, just like the brown shirts back in Nazi Germany. The illegals will be the new brown shirts, and guys like us will be squeezed in the middle, and then the real Nazis will be right behind them to kill off the brown shirts.
Well, you know, interesting, because coming back to what the basic theme I started off with, you know, back in the old days, the Soviet Union. Oh, I hear that music coming, Jeff. Listen, I want to thank you for your call.
Welcome.
We've
Have
got to move
one.
On to some other callers here. Got to go to a break. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Hi, this is John Statler, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103, and let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine-tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
Everyone agrees our children are the future leaders of this great nation. How can we expect the founding values of our great republic to continue with future generations when these same values are being phased out of the government-run school system? There is a solution. The Little Red Schoolhouse Project, a community-based school system founded by Dr. Jake Wade to provide a biblical and constitutionally-based education for our children. Help us prepare the next generation in our fight for freedom. Ask us how you can help by writing to Providence Christian Academies, 280 Tenny Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616, or by calling 512-398-4833. Once again, that is Providence Christian Academies, 280 Tenny Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616. Support your local Little Red Schoolhouse. Call 512-398-4833 and ask how you can help ensure no student is turned away.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington, D.C., headquarters of American Free Press. And I would be remiss in not reminding you that you can always check out the American Free Press website at AmericanFreePress.net, just like it sounds, AmericanFreePress.net, all one word, three words crammed together into one, AmericanFreePress.net. And find out how you can subscribe, or you can always call the American Free Press 800 number. Actually, it's an 888 number. 888-699-NEWS. 888-699-NEWS. Before the break, talking to our first caller of the evening, I started to mention something. I'll pursue it here because I think it's relevant. You know, back in the old days, the early Soviet Union, the Soviets set up a spy operation, counterintelligence operation, called the Trust. And what they did was they actually financed their own opposition. They set up an anti-communist organization, and what it, the purpose of it was to gather the names of anti-communists within the Soviet Union and without. And, of course, a lot of good anti-communists got roped in, and then the Soviets knew exactly who their opposition was and what they were up to. So this whole concept of of Judas goats being employed by the international elite or whatever politically powerful group we want to talk about. You can give it a name like the Illuminati, or you can call it the Council on Foreign Relations or the Mossad or the CIA or the FBI or whatever you want to call it. The fact is these things do exist. Okay, well, let's go to Michael calling from New York and see what he has to say about this or whatever he wants to talk about.
Hello, Michael.
How are you doing tonight?
Good, sir. Nice to talk to you again.
All righty.
Michael, I'm just following up from a call last week where I came across an article from actually 1903 in a reprinted paper regarding an article titled The Jews for Palestine.
Right, right, right.
And I promised you to send that, and I didn't forget about you. I had an email issue, and I wasn't able to get that out, the attachment out, because of my server, as it turns out, was all filled up.
Okay.
I'm clearing all that up tonight, and I'll have that article out to you later on tonight.
All right, very good. Do you have my email address and everything?
Yes, sir, I do.
Okay, great. All right, I'll look forward to that. Appreciate that.
Absolutely. The title's The Jews for Palestine. Now, get a load of this. Right under that headline, the caption, a proposition to effect the colonization of the Holy Land by them. Can you believe that?
Well, you know, Michael, what this comes back to is what I've said repeatedly on this program, and that is that, you know, you can find very valuable information out there that has already been published. It's no secret. It's just a matter of actually finding it, you know?
Yep, that's right. You know, the way I look at it, Michael, the devil worshippers, they serve their devils by, and they, of course, try to suppress the truth, regardless it's politics or technology or religion or spirituality. But because of the good Lord, they can't defeat the good Lord and the Almighty, who's all eternal and all powerful. And so, through them, that the truth always resurfaces.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and it always, yep, and it always falls into the hands of his faithful servants.
That's right. You know, like
that's
I
right.
say, you just got to look for it and you'll find it.
Absolutely right, Michael. And so I just wanted to touch base with you on that one, pal.
All right, great. Appreciate
it. Okay, and then I'll follow up and talk to you later on about it.
All right, I'll watch for it. Thanks a lot, Michael.
Good show. Take care.
All right. Okay, we have another Michael calling in. Michael from Phoenix. Michael, come on up. Michael in Phoenix.
Yes, can you hear me?
I can hear you very well.
All right, yes. Well, Michael, I thank you for all you've done there. I was going to make a little comment there about betrayal, because I think that's a subject that you initially opened that
with. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, this is something that people can look into. The original betrayer, of course, that we know of is Judas.
Mm-hmm.
If you look in the scriptures, Jesus actually identifies him as the son of perdition. And that is very different from the Antichrist. You got two different characters here. The Antichrist, somebody betrays you has to be your friend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Antichrist, or you want to say somebody who's on the other side, they can't betray you.
Okay.
Well, anyway.
Good point.
Yes. Oh, shoot. I had to wait so long. I forgot what I was going to say there.
I know how that works.
Well, anyway, come on, brain, work. Michael, you know, I'm going to have to hang up on you. I had this what I was going to say, and I forgot. And
I'll tell you what, Michael, before you hang up, I would just like to comment on that point you made. That's a very interesting point. Yeah, I think a lot of these Judas goats, they're really not betrayers in that sense, because they were never on our side to begin with. They're just posing and playing roles, leading us to the cliff, you know, leading us like the lemmings.
Okay, you fired me up. Okay, this is what I was going to say.
All right, I thought I might do that.
Yeah. Judas. No one ever wants to think of what went through Judas's mind. He actually believed what he was doing was right. What
well,
he was looking for is he believed that if he betrayed the Lord, then that the Lord would have to identify himself as a conqueror and have to destroy all his enemies.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And you've got the same, I hate to say this, but that is the realm that most of the Christian realm is in today.
Well, you know, that's an interesting point, too, because...
when any of us, you have a friend who's been with you, and all of a sudden you start saying things that they don't agree with. Well, they have a choice. You know, they can either kind of fade away, or they can actually come against you. And what they're actually doing is they're sticking to a belief system that, well, in the case of Judas, obviously, he believed that the Pharisees' idea that God would come along, or the Messiah would come along and destroy all the enemies of Rome, that was the go ahead and betray him, and he will have to manifest as the God of a destroying God.
Well, you know what's interesting about all this, Michael, that, you know, while this is all in the Bible, you know, the fact is it's happening very much in our modern day and age. And it's
the same religious group, and there is a difference. There is a difference between the Pharisees and, when you look up the word Antichrist, those are those people who believe themselves to be Christ. You've got two Christs. You've got the ones who claim to be Christ, and the one who actually is. The Jews in their own religion, Talmudic Jews, actually believe that they are Messiah.
Well, you know what's interesting, though, in this regard, and that's the fact that there is so much manipulation of so many good people by the use of religion, and that's something else we definitely got to keep in mind. And I guess those who know better, it's their job to try to win over these people who will generally call, for want of a better way of putting it, quote unquote, good Christians, and bring them around. So, Michael, I thank you for your call. Gives me something to think about. We're going to go to Keith in Rhode Island now. Keith, come on up.
Change. Hello?
Hey, Keith. How you doing tonight?
I thought you might like to have a sentient caller for a change.
Okay.
Enough Sunday school. I've had it. You know, the Bible talk, Bible all day long. But instead of calling, we've used words like literati and Illuminati and glitterati and the New World Order. What's wrong with the term ZOG, the acronym ZOG, Zionist Occupied Government? Wouldn't that just come more to the point?
Well, you know what? I'm sorry to say that is exactly what we've got in place right now. And, you know, it's so sad because I think I mentioned this on the show the other night that when I was over in Malaysia, I talked to so many people who frankly said flat out, and I'm talking people, you know, regular average Joes in the street to some of the richest, most powerful people in that country, and their reaction, their statements were almost unanimously, they would say, well, you know, they say how we hate the American people. We don't hate the American people. If anything, we feel sorry for the American people, but because the American people have allowed themselves to be taken over and used and abused for the purposes of the Zionist elite. And you know, and of course, and you know, they recognize over there that it's the Western media, you know, the elite media in this country, the big broadcast networks and the news magazines and the newspapers. And you know, the funny thing is, though, Keith, that even there in Southeast Asia, the people in Malaysia are concerned that the Zionist-controlled media of the United States and those elements that are in control in Western Europe are corrupting their own local media there. So you know, it's a very long arm of this Zionist octopus that, you know, they're scared there that it's going to happen. And, you know, when I was in Japan, I was told the same thing by some of those Japanese nationalists there, that they are so concerned about this Zionist network, this octopus that's, you know, the head of it is here in New York, I would say, you know.
That's a legitimate concern, because Murdoch is very interested in buying a couple of global network satellite channels.
Well, you know, I just heard that I'm not sure if it was Murdoch or if it was the Aspers of Canada. I forget which now. I just saw it in the paper the other day, but they're buying into some of the major Spanish language broadcasting in the Western Hemisphere, reaching throughout Latin America, and so that's a major development in and of itself. Because it's kind of interesting. William Rodriguez, the Puerto Rican-born Spanish-speaking 911 survivor pointed out while we were in Malaysia together that even though the English language media, the Zionist controlled media here in the United States, was censoring what he was telling people about 911, the Spanish language media coming from Latin America was completely open and completely reporting accurately what he said. But now that these Zionist interests are trying to take control of the media down there, it's pretty clear that there's going to be some censorship that didn't exist on September 12th,
well, that's why,
2001.
Right. Well, that's why Donald Rumsfeld and all the other villains are so upset with Al Jazeera, right? Because that's one major news network they don't own, they don't control.
Exactly, exactly. And you know, and you know, really, it's just such a very simple point, you know, and you know, until you can recognize that fact and honestly discuss it, you can't really talk about freedom of speech. And you know, it's very interesting. Dr. Mahathir, the former Prime Minister of Malaysia, has pointed out time and again in interviews and in public statements that in the West, he says just what I've been saying. You know, he says that, look, you know, you can complain about the government of Malaysia, as when he was leader of Malaysia, you can complain about the government coming in and limiting freedom of speech, but no one ever talks about the fact that in the United States and in Europe, the people who control the media are the ones who actually control the parameters of public debate. And that's what we have here. And if it weren't for the Republic Broadcasting Network, I mean, really, what other radio network is out there that's completely wide open and where you're able to discuss these things? I don't know of any.
Well, that's why I get a little annoyed with some of your callers. Bless their hearts, they're good people, but when they get carried away with the Bible, that's really just wasting valuable time that could have been devoted to something more, a little more relevant. But I'd like to speak very briefly about the certain patriot groups are infiltrated. Do I have time for that?
Yeah, please, go ahead, yeah.
Okay, well, first of all, I'd like to point out Sean Walker, the chairman of the National Alliance. It seems that Zog, they put him in prison for a very minor 2002 barroom incident.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it was based on that minor incident that happened 4 years ago, that Sean Walker, chairman of the National Alliance, a biochemist by trade, a very well-spoken, soft-spoken gentleman, he might spend the rest of his life in prison because Zog is trying to make a big deal out of a very small barroom incident that happened 4 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, I would have thought that, I don't know the particulars, but I would have even thought that the statute of limitations had run
right
on that. But whether it did or not, you're absolutely right.
Another trick, I don't mean to be keep stepping over you, but I know
the
time.
No, go ahead.
Matt Hale, another gentleman who was chairman of the World Church of the Creator.
Right.
And his security apparatus was infiltrated by an FBI agent, I believe, or the Southern Poverty. And, the Southern Poverty Law Center got a hold of him with a copyright lawsuit.
Exactly.
Right. But that's another popular move that that Zog uses. They infiltrate the security staff of these various organizations. And they got Matt Hale to say on tape that he wouldn't mind if a certain Jewish federal judge died, but he never really. It was a setup. It was a pure setup.
Exactly. I mean, that's why you have to be so careful in your, you know, not you personally, but I mean, that's why people have to be so careful in saying things that even if they don't, you know, even if they don't mean something, a few words can be twisted out of proportion, or, you know, and made into, well, look at Matt Hale. He's in jail. I mean, it's for something really that he didn't do, and we all know that.
Right, 40 years for something he didn't even say, that he was basically set up to say, 40 years, and there are murderers out there who do maybe 3 years.
Oh, exactly. So this is what I say, you know, we can never just assume that friendly person who comes around to the meetings and says all the right things is really on our side. You know, I'm not trying to sow suspicion, but I am trying to send a very important warning that we do have to be careful.
Well, membership lists and meetings, any meeting-oriented organization, you have to be very careful of, because they've easily infiltrated.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much.
All right, thanks for calling, Keith. Okay, we have, it was a good call, very interesting points he brought up. We have Raj in Pennsylvania. Let's bring Raj up.
Yeah, thanks, Michael. Yeah, I guess we're running a little short here, but hoping to get into the spotlight thing and then following American Free Press. But, you know, now Jesus in the New Testament said you're either me or your father, the devil. And what's more said that no one comes to the Father but by me. And that includes coming to the truth about the Father other than through Jesus. So by extension, someone who is not a Christian is an enemy of the American form, which doesn't exist in a vacuum by itself, apart, even if say Christianity were not true as a logical consequence, the mere popularization of the concepts made possible the American Republic.
Well, Raj, let me interrupt there, because I can think of a couple good people here in the United States who I know very, very well. Well, we're going to have to go to a break here, and I want you to hang on there,
sure.
Raj. It's our final break for the hour, and then we have a few minutes to wrap up, and we'll talk about this. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Michael Collins Piper, coming to you from Washington on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Headline news. The much-anticipated bird flu pandemic. Whether you consider it dangerous or not makes no difference. It will still be the reason to confine and restrict travel. Conclusion. If we can't feed ourselves locked down at home, Homeland Security will be forced to bring us to gathering centers. Remember Katrina and the Superdome? The World War II bomb shelters in England. And the concentration camps throughout history. They were all huge disease incubators infesting confinees with dozens of life-threatening illnesses. Even if the wimpy little bird flu can't get you, the camps and the immunization will. If the government says store some non-perishable food, you know we'll need a lot. Decide how many years of food your family needs and get it before it's gone or can't be transported. Remember, folks, bad food plans are life-threatening. Call the co-op at 800-409-5633 for warnings and guidelines. That's J. Michael Stevens Group, 800-409-5633, or on the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Axiom, The Second American Civil War, a new novel by T. Edward Allen. Through corruption, greed, and incompetence, the neocons have brought the world to the brink of World War III. John Carter and his family are caught in the middle of a terrifying plunge into chaos. When the world economy collapses, America is brought down with it. The focal point is the ideological conflict between progressives and conservatives. And when civil war breaks out, Americans find that every axiom they took for granted has been overturned. Dangerously political and thought-provoking, T. Edward Allen takes readers on a wild ride and a glimpse into America's future with madmen at the helm.
Buy Axiom at www.axiom-thenovel.com. That's axiom-thenovel.com, or find it at amazon.com. Get in on the buzz. Purchase your copy. Axiom, The Second American Civil War by T. Edward Allen.
Americans who already realize our nation is in deep trouble need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who is responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles of the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
Michael Collins Piper returning you for our big wrap-up here for this one little hour that I occupy on the Republic Broadcasting Network, and it's always a very nice hour, I might add. A lot of nice callers out there. Right now we have Raj calling from Pennsylvania. Raj had commented on something that I wanted to remark about, maybe in criticism or in disagreement with him. But, Raj, I have to say that I know quite a few people here who are involved in, here in the United States, who are involved in the Patriot movement in one form or another, who do not consider themselves Christians. I know one guy who considers himself a pagan, but I don't think you would find him in disagreement with most of the people on most of the issues here on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Oh, and for that matter, I can think of a number of Jews, Muslims, Mormons, who I'd rather be aligned with in recovering the American Republic than some actual real Bible-believing Christians who are...
Right, okay. Well, I think we're in agreement there then. Yeah, I guess the... So are you amending your statement?
No. Well, I wasn't trying to make a utilitarian case for Christianity, which is actually just as deadly to the true faith as is moralism. I mean, there's been some supremely moral individuals who nevertheless have slidden off into hell. So So we don't want to make either of those cases. No, it's kind of like D. James Kennedy kind of lapses into that stream. I don't know if you ever noticed over the years. We wouldn't have the hospitals built. We wouldn't have the American Republic, et cetera. Yeah, well, that's all well and good, but that doesn't make the true faith true or false per se. But I wasn't trying to. But now, it is somehow one can. Exercise from the foundational documents, the early documents, some 30% influence of direct scriptural alliterations, and then somehow think we could possibly have had our republic anything near the present form, or the former form.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, wait a minute, hold on, whoa.
Yeah, early
that's
form.
Part of the problem. But then again, you know, at the same time, some of my dearest friends will say that America, this is a Christian nation. It always was, and or let's put it this way, it was, and probably still should be. But on the same token, I can find another group of my dearest friends who will say, well, no, America really wasn't set up as a Christian nation. It was a Masonic experiment.
Yeah, I don't think that quite washes, and people don't realize that even the Freemasonry today. Was not nearly so much the fully fructified evil it now is as it was 200 years ago when even then it was still relatively benign.
Well, now see right there, you know, I'd like to think you were right, but on the other hand, I know people who will tell you that it was thoroughly evil from the beginning and that mostly the people at the lower levels really didn't know what was going on.
Well, I used the word relatively, after all.
Okay, well.
God bless.
All right, Raj. Well, we're running out of time, so we're going to have to wrap it up for the evening. But I hope you'll stay tuned here to the Republic Broadcasting Network. And again, that you'll tune in tomorrow night right here. See what I have to say, what our callers have to say, just what's going on in the world. All right, thanks everybody for listening. Stay tuned, as I say, for a lot more good programming. Saying farewell for the evening.
The Bill of Rights protects every American's God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now that right is being seriously undermined as legally registered rifles are being confiscated in some parts of our country. If we're not careful, we may find ourselves with no right to own guns. And that's where Gun Owners of America comes in. Gun Owners of America is in Washington every day fighting for you to keep that right. Congressman Ron Paul has called GOA the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington.
You need to be part of this great grassroots group of activists who are keeping the heat on their members of Congress. Find out right now how you can join. Call 888-886-GUNS and get started receiving their fact-filled newsletters and action alerts. Call 888-886-GUNS or go to their webpage at gunowners.org and help make your voice heard in Washington. Make that call right now and call Gun Owners of America at 888-886-GUNS. Remember, it's not just about gun control, it's about control.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.